How are we doing? Good. I'm glad to be here. My name is Colton, if you didn't catch it. Hey, would you guys close that door as you're coming in? Appreciate it. If you didn't catch it earlier, my name is Colton. I am really honored to be here today. I'm a full-time staff member here at Hume Lake. I work in food service of all the places. So whenever you eat, it's because I made your food part of it. So really excited about that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, I actually kind of like it. Before I was working here at Hume, I was actually a traveling musician. I travel all over the place and play music as a ministry. I went to a bunch of churches, and so it's kind of nice to be able to kind of just hide in the back. I'm one of those sensitive artists, and I'm just making food, and I'm thinking about what if I wrote a song that made me cry or something like that, and everybody's just really weirded out by me because I'm just stirring this. Pot of soup and just what are you doing, dude? Anyways, super excited to be here. Been here for about a year and a half. Me and my wife have been married for, next month will be 7 years, which is crazy. Thanks. Yeah. Marriage is pretty cool. I suggest it to you. So we're going to just dive right in, guys. Just to be upfront and honest, I'm going to be talking about some pretty deep stuff really fast. Not going to be pulling any punches. I think what we need in our culture is a lot more honesty from men, and I'm going to be really honest. If I seem to you awkward or nervous seeming, it's because I am. I'm going to be opening up this little monster in here so that you can see it, so that hopefully you might be able to learn. God has taught me a lot over the years. I'm almost 26, and I feel very blessed. And secondly, I'm primarily addressing Christians because what I'm talking about is killing sin. And if you are not a Christian, you are dead. And dead people can't do things. They don't fight sin, especially. But if you are a Christian, you have been given life in your spirit. You have left the headship of Adam, and you have entered under the headship of Christ. He is your salvation. He is your righteousness. He is your hope and your strength. And he will provide the strength to kill sin that is honestly controlling many of us in here. In my travels, I went all over the country, went to a lot of churches, and within the youth groups, pretty much almost every time I was there, most of the guys would come up to me and be like, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with porn. I don't know what to do. And just throughout that, I just started studying and researching, trying to figure out how to help those around me. Just to be honest with you, I've read a couple studies, but most likely 75 to 90% of the men in this room are in some way interacting with or addicted to pornography. It is prevalent among us. It is so easy to access. It's in your pocket right now. It's on your game consoles, on your computers, on your smart TVs. Anytime, at any moment, all you have to do is type 3 letters in and you have access to a world of sin. And so it's a pretty desperate situation we're in, and I hope that I might be able to help you with my story. But first, we're going to pray, and then we'll read some Bible and get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much that you are merciful. God, that you are gracious to us who do not deserve it. That you loved us when we were your enemy, not when we were likable, not when we were in any way desirable. You came to us. Father, help us to understand the depth of what you have accomplished. Help us to realize the state of our souls and that how sin actually kills us. Help us to understand that you are the one who gives us the way out. Help us to understand that you hate sin, but you love us. God, you are so powerful. You hold the universe together by your decision. You're amazing. And if you're that powerful, you're powerful enough to help us overcome some temptations. Be with us today. Help us to be humble in our hearts and in our minds, that we would be moldable and that we would listen to your spirit when you speak to us. Please be with me. Help me to speak clearly and to be humble, to not be a people pleaser, but to be faithful with what you have given to me. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so I'm going to be reading from the Bible. It's a really cool book. I also suggest it to you. My favorite book in all the Bible is Romans, and my favorite chapter in Romans is Romans 8. It's an amazing chapter. It starts off with just a bang, you know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it just goes on and on. It is how we live this life and what it is to honor the Lord. And so I'm going to be reading from Romans 8. I'm going to be reading two little sections. So Romans 8, 5 through 6, and then Romans 8, 12 through 13. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can't turn there because you don't have your Bible. All right. Romans 8. 5 through 6. All right. Goes like this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, and then jump down to verse 12. And Paul says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay, so the main gist of what I'm going to be talking about today is killing sin. What Paul's talking about here is setting your mind on the things of the Spirit and taking it from the things of the flesh. Okay, I'm going to just give you this main principle, and I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. It's the way to kill sin is to starve it to death. Okay, you kill sin by not feeding it, thinking of sin as a monster, thinking of it as this living creature inside of you. You kill it by not giving it its desires, but by feeding the desires of the Spirit, by reading the Word, by communing with the Lord, by living in community with the fellowship of believers. So I'm going to come back to that. Share my story real quick. So I was one of those kids that kind of fell out of the womb and they like spanked me. And instead of crying, I was just like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, like I was a Christian from the start. I was blessed enough to grow up in a Christian home. So growing up, my mom was definitely Christian, and my dad pretty much, he would say he converted to Christianity when I was born, but I would say he wasn't really Christian until I was about 16. And so we moved a ton, and because of that, I grew up homeschooled, and my dad, though he says he was a Christian, he was definitely pursuing a life of greed, and so whenever he would find an opportunity to get a better job, whether that be across the country or not, he would take it because he loves us. He wanted to provide for us. By the time I was 18, we moved about 15 different times across the country, I think 5 or 6 different states. I was born in California, but I've lived in many places in California, and then Kansas a couple times, and North Carolina, and Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. And I can't remember, I think there's another one. And that was kind of a weird way to grow up. I would make friends, and believe it or not, us homeschoolers make friends, and they're just as awkward as us, but they're still friends. So I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Bible school. I went to, whenever it was a church event, I was there. My parents did Christian curriculum, so I knew all the right stuff, right? I just grew up in it. I was saturated in it. But one day, my dad came home from work, not in his usual way, but in the back of a police car, and it was at that moment that my life was rocked. By the grace of God, to this day, he should be still in prison, but the company that he committed crimes against, they didn't press charges. But God used that circumstance to radically change my family's life and turn my dad's heart to the Lord, which I'm so grateful for to this day, though it was a painful time. You know, now my dad loves the Lord, and I'm very, very glad about that. But during that time, it hit me hard because I love my dad. He was my dad. I looked up to him. Though he was grumpy most of the time, I still loved him. And to know that my dad did something bad, and he should be in jail, that hurt me. And because of that, we had to move. And it was right at that time. I think it was in junior high-ish. I was starting to like girls. There was this girl, we were in a homeschool group, you know, and there was this girl I liked, and I thought for sure I was going to marry her, and it was going to be awesome. And we had to move. So we were living in Pennsylvania, and we had to move back to Kansas and live with my grandparents. And that was awful. I love my grandparents, but it just was awful. It was just a very humbling experience. My dad then, because he committed crimes, he couldn't go get a job at a normal place, so he had to start his own business, and he just had to start working his way up. And so we were super poor and just barely making it by. And it was right at that time when I was starting to get my sex drive and my desire as a man. And I thought one day, and while I was surfing the internet, you know what? I'm going to look up girls in bikinis. That seems like a good idea. Little did I know that would begin an ongoing 12-year struggle for my life. It was at that very moment that I stepped into a life of addiction. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that you could be addicted to pornography. And my parents, they had like told me, like, hey, there's some bad stuff on the internet, and you really need to be careful. That was sort of the extent of it. And so I, you know, homeschooled, pretty sheltered, you know, I knew that there was bad stuff there, but I just didn't know the degree of what was there. And so what started then would begin a 2-year struggle that I kept secret. And a struggle that would begin to get worse and worse. And I didn't know it. I didn't understand why it was getting worse and worse. Because it would be like, I looked at girls in bikinis, and then I was like, oh, I feel awful. What the heck is wrong with me? Why would I ever do that? And so I'd be like, hey, never doing that again. And then, you know, 2 weeks later or whatever it is, I'm back looking at girls in bikinis, except they're wearing less than bikinis this time. And then it just progresses worse and worse and worse, and I couldn't figure it out. Like, why am I doing this? And I'd feel awful, and I'd have this guilt, this shame, this burden on me just at all times. Like, why am I doing this? What is wrong with me? I know God hates this, but I'm still pursuing it. Why? So I kept that a secret for 2 years. And it started when I was 14, and by the time I was 16, it was right around that same time when crazy stuff was happening, and it was a hard time in our lives. And I just broke down. I was in church one day, and I can't even remember the sermon. I can't remember what was said. I just broke down. I could not contain it anymore. I knew I was displeasing the Lord. I knew that I was sinning, but I couldn't get out. And I thought I could, but I can't. I was like, okay, I'm not going to get on the computer at night. I'm not even going to do that. I'm not going to, I'm just going to, you know, just think about other things. And I guess I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a lot. And it just wasn't working. And so I just broke down. I lost it. I was just sobbing in the pew. And my parents were like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, did you get hurt or something? And then at that point, I told them, like, I'm sorry, but I'm struggling with this. And that was the turning moment in my life that I started to see real victory over sin. God just taught me a lot about fighting sin through my through a ton of trial and error. So I broke down, and my parents, they were just shocked. They had no clue that I was even struggling with it. And they're like, I wish you would have told me. I wish you just would have told us. We could have helped you. But I was too ashamed. You know, I was embarrassed. I'm like, I don't want to tell them I'm doing that. And so it was really at that moment that the Lord started to grip my heart. Though I knew the right answers, I knew about the gospel, it was in that year when I was 16 that the Lord really showed me that I did not, though I knew him, he did not know me. And that I then submitted myself to the Lord, and I sought to understand what the gospel really meant. And I sought to understand how to kill sin. And just to be honest, it wasn't easy, and it still isn't. The reality is that sin grips you so deeply, and it is not something that will easily that you will easily be able to let go of. And so, going back to what I was saying before, just a precursor, I'm not trying to emotionally manipulate or to guilt trip in this talk. Somebody came up to me last week and they're like, "I just feel like you're guilt tripping me," and I was thinking, "Well, that's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you," but I'm not here to guilt trip you. I'm here to say I'm in it with you. Though I've had seen amazing victory in my life, and the Lord has helped me so much, and I'm not as nearly prone to fall into sin as I was 10 years ago, but still to this day, I'm tempted. I live in a world where there's temptation all around me. Like I said at the beginning, it's in your pocket, it's on your computer, it's on your smart TVs and your game consoles, it's in books, it's on TV, it's just everywhere. And it's like people wonder why so many of us struggle with sin, and it's like our culture just promotes it so heavily. We are made to be attracted to women. God designed you to be that way. It's not like a, oh my gosh, you want to see a girl naked? Like that is what you were made to do. And I'm going to be talking a bit about marriage and about how God has designed us. But going back to what I was saying earlier, so think of sin as this monster, right? Think of sin as this beast inside of you that is living. And that what we just read in the scripture, to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the spirit is life. And so anytime that you are setting your mind on the flesh, aka looking at pornography, masturbating, doing things that are sexually sinful or sinful in general, any sin, you are setting your mind on the flesh. And when you set your mind on the flesh, you feed that monster. You feed that beast. And it, little by little, every time you feed it, it grows stronger. It has more ability to control your mind, has more ability to control your actions. You might not realize it, but you are controlled by your desires, and your desires stem from a heart of worship, whether you're worshiping yourself or you're worshiping the Lord. And so, when you set your mind on the Spirit, you set your mind on the things of God, on His words, you are feeding the Spirit. You are strengthening the Spirit within inside of you so that when you neglect the flesh and its desires, it diminishes, it starves, it shrivels into this puny thing. But when you set your mind on the Spirit, it grows and flourishes. And so you have ability to say no. You have the ability to turn away and say, Jesus is better. But when you, like I just mentioned, set your mind on the things of the flesh, it's though you know might know Jesus is better, it still has its grip on you. And so the thing about pornography, and so is that it is highly addictive. I've read a few studies and seen that pornography has been proven to be either as addicting or more addicting than crack cocaine. That when you set your mind on it, when you first start, especially at a young age, when you first start getting your sex drive, your mind is extremely moldable. And in that study, they say that whatever our first sexual experiences are during those young years will determine for the rest of your life what your mind will naturally try to go to find sexual satisfaction. And so for most of us in this room, that is pornography. And so we're in this pickle. We're in this really hard predicament because not only does sin darken your mind and hardens your heart and causes you to bring in death, and you feel that death, you might not realize it because, well, you might be numb to it, but you are taking in death. So every time you sin, that is what we do. It is addicting, and so it causes you to continue to go downward. Part of my life, I grew up in Kansas, and in Kansas, the grass gets like super tall. At least it did then. I was like 12, so I mean, maybe it was like this tall, but whatever. But the point is that we lived in out in the country, and our nearest neighbor was like a mile down this dirt road. Like that was our only neighbor, and then all around us was just like cow fields forever. And so as kids, we would just like go out into the fields and like play imagination and have fun and stuff with our dogs and our other animals. And as we were exploring, it's like super hard to like wade through the grass, but as we were going through, we'd find these cow tracks, right? It's this path that the cows would always take because they would just walk on it, and the grass wouldn't grow there because they always walked on it. Think of your mind in a similar sort of way. That every time that your mind actually has pathways in it that your neurons travel down, right? And so anytime that you masturbate and you look at pornography, you walk down that path. And every time it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And eventually, your mind will always just try to go down that path because it's going to take the path of least resistance. And it's just crazy to me how connected our minds and our bodies and our spirits are. I love it. I love science and and understanding how we work. And I think God's amazing in how he's designed us. And I think once you understand how you're designed, you can understand how to operate properly. Because we're broken, we don't know how we work. What happens is that even farther into your life, I've talked to a few older men, like in their 70s, and I've talked to them openly about my problems, and then they would share, you know, their struggles, and they would say, though I'm in my 70s, my mind still goes back. When I'm with my wife now, I still struggle today. My mind still goes back to when I was a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old, when I was committing those sexual sins. My mind still goes back to those things. Isn't that crazy? Even into our old age, our sins stay with us. They live with us. And it's just a hard thing to understand, and it's a hard thing to live with. And so, because of this, even once you are married, you will still find that you will struggle, okay? Because you've taught your mind that pornography is what my sexual satisfaction is. But what's really curious, I read this other study. It's just crazy to me. It shows that we are designed in a certain way, is that scientists have done studies on men and their sexual responses. And they said that when men would look at pornography and masturbate, their bodies would actually not release the certain hormones that tell their minds that they have been satisfied. But they have done this study that shows that when they are with their wives, in the context of marriage, that you, when you are with your wife, that you actually release the hormones that say, I am satisfied, I am done, and I feel at peace. And so what happens is, this is why we actually go into deeper and deeper sexual acts with pornography and sexual sins, is because you look at pornography and you masturbate, and then at the end you feel like, okay, I have less of an urge, but I don't feel satisfied. So the next time you have to go look for something that turns you on more, and then deeper and deeper and deeper sexual acts. And I'm just going to be really raw and honest right now. I'm not saying that this happens to everyone, but I am saying that the reality of sin is that it never wants to just be on surface level. It wants to take you down deeper and deeper into death. That this is the reason that a lot of child molesters and rapists are born, is because they started with, I've known a man who struggled with these things, and he said, yeah, I started with softcore pornography, and it just wasn't enough, so I started seeking deeper and more evil acts, and eventually it led to children, and eventually it led to, you know, the real thing. And again, I'm not saying that to emotionally manipulate, not saying that to guilt trip. I'm just saying that sin wants to kill. It wants to destroy. And that your porn addiction is not an innocent sin. It doesn't end with you. It affects everyone around you. It affects your whole life, the way you think, the way you operate. It is a consuming thing. All sin is consuming. I have an uncle. He was an open porn addict. He says he was a Christian, totally not. He's like, yeah, I go to church, but I am openly addicted to pornography. And he has a wife and four children. And I have seen the progression of his life. This went from worse to worse to worse because of his addiction. You see, he had a family. He had a wife and four kids. Because of his addiction, he's like, it's just not enough. So I need to go out and start finding the real thing. So I'm going to start hiring prostitutes. Oh, and I think I need to get a stripper girlfriend because that's what I want. And I think I need to leave my family because they don't like the sin that I'm doing. They don't support me. They don't really love me because that's what I want. And so he left his family. He left everybody. And he left us this wake of destruction behind him. It didn't, like, I'm just trying to give this as an example so that you understand that sin does not just stay in here. That sin affects those around you. And to this day, he won't talk to any of us, and he's just getting worse and worse and worse into drug addictions and into losing his job and just all of these things. Because of an addiction to pornography. He doesn't realize it, that sin destroys you. And it's not just porn addiction. His heart is dead. He doesn't love the Lord. For most of us in here, for those of us who do love the Lord, it can lead that way. And it wants to go that way. And so the big question is, okay, if I'm addicted to this thing that is more addicting than crack cocaine, and I can't seem to be strong enough to do it on my own, what do I do? I'm going to give you three practical things that you can do, but ultimately, I'm going to finish with this at the end. Ultimately, it's love Jesus. I can tell you how to do these things, and you can be like, okay, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to do that, but if you don't love Jesus, it doesn't matter. That's a lot of times I'm not a fan of accountability groups because it's just like, hey, did you mess up? Yeah, I messed up. Oh, okay. You know, it's just like, that's not the point. The point is, hey, did you mess up? Yeah, I messed up. Man, I'm sorry, dude. And just pointing them back to Jesus. But if you aren't in love with Jesus, if you don't love the gospel, if you don't understand how amazing he is, it really doesn't make a difference. I can tell you all the right answers, and it's not gonna help you. And so I'll talk more about that at the end. But okay, I listened to this pastor. His name is John Piper, and he has this saying that he says, and he says, right thinking produces right living. And I really love that saying because he takes it from Romans 12, and it says, be renewed by the transformation of your mind. And what he's saying is, again, just kind of building off what I was saying earlier, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. When you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you start living right. You start understanding who God is. You start understanding how he has made you and made the world and how we are broken. And you understand that there is hope. You understand that you can fight sin. You understand that Jesus does love you and that he does forgive you time and time again because there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. He loves you, and he is here to help you. I've done a lot of reading. I like to read it a lot, and there's this book by an author named John Owen. He's a Puritan from like the 1500s, 1700s, an American Puritan, so 1700s. And he wrote this book called Overcoming Sin and Temptation. If you want, I think, last time I checked, it's in the bookstore here at Hume. It's dense and it's hard to understand at times, but it's amazing. And it's been one of the most helpful things that I have ever read outside of the Bible for fighting sin. And so I recommend it if you want to have some intellectual pursuit there. But anyways, so right thinking, getting our mind set on how God has made us. But beyond that, there's some things that we can do. And so I'm going to go into that. So three main things. Number one, make no provisions for the flesh. Okay, what I mean by that is pay attention to your life. Your heart is deceitful. It wants to control you, and so it will try to grab onto any little thing that it can to feed that desire. And so you'd be surprised. Once I understood this concept, I started paying attention to my life and started realizing how many weird little things were feeding that monster. So take, for instance, just to throw things out there, movies, books, games, songs, like these things, your girlfriend, the girls at the mall, whatever, and if you start paying attention, you're like, I don't understand. I wasn't feeling tempted at all. But then I went home today, and I looked at porn again. But then I would say, well, what happened today? Well, I was with my girlfriend, and I'd be like, wait, what was she wearing? Oh, well, she was like kind of almost nothing. And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe there's your issue, is that your girlfriend, because she's wearing skimpy clothing, you were made to desire her, and so within marriage, and so all of a sudden you've awakened these desires within you, but you're a Christian man, so you're like, okay, I'm not going to have sex with her, so I'm going to go look at porn tonight, and it's like, it's connected. Books you read, games you play, just real quick, games, I'm really short on time, there's a lot of games today that are just crazy. I like games, they're super fun, but like Witcher 3, Mass Effect 3 literally have pornography in them. Don't play them. Don't even go there. It's okay. Like, I know it's going to be a bummer when all your friends are talking about, well, you know, Commander Shepard did all this cool stuff, but the reality is that in 5 months, there's going to be another cool game out, and you'll already forget about Mass Effect 3. Let it pass you on by. Okay, so don't make provisions for the flesh. Bring it into the light is the second thing. Bring it into the light. This thing that you have in darkness, this thing is festering inside of you, and it wants you to keep it a secret. And it wasn't until I said that I confessed it that I really started seeing a big difference and a big change in my life. And I started seeing victory over that sin. It's a humbling experience. It's kind of frustrating that you're bringing this thing out. But the Lord says, read it in James, is that humble yourself before the Lord. He will exalt you. Just say, it doesn't matter if I look like a fool. I want Jesus. I want to be with the Lord. This is worth it to me to look like a fool. And so at one point in my life, I literally would tell like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people. I would get into any accountability group. I would tell my pastor, my youth pastor, my worship pastor, like anybody who was in a spiritual authority over me, my parents, like friends I respected, I would just tell them, hey, I'm struggling. Please pray for me. And it was in those moments that it was just losing its grasp on me. And it wasn't so strong over me so that I was able to resist. So bringing it into the light. And then lastly, if I looked at the right page, cut off the source. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, he was talking about, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven cutting off your right arm if it causes you to stumble than to be thrown into hell with both your arms. And I take that to mean, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven never having an iPhone than to be thrown into hell with my iPhone. And a lot of people freak out at that. This is one of the most radical things. They're like, you don't have a smartphone? Like, what else is there? And I tell them, yeah, I have a brick phone. And they're like, what the heck is a brick phone? And I'm like, well, pretty much, like, if you had enough of them, you could stack them all up. They're, like, so sturdy, you could, like, make a house out of them. And literally all it does is it makes calls and texts people. And it's super lame. But because of that, like, I tried the iPhone thing. I tried like, passwords and, you know, filters and all that stuff, and it was just always finding ways around it, always, like, in moments of weakness, just being like, oh, I can find a way out around it like this. And I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I don't want this anymore. It's causing me to stumble so much. I can't have it. And I'm not saying that everybody just needs to get rid of their phone, but I'm just saying pay attention to your life, and if it causes you to stumble, consider cutting it off, because we aren't strong enough. We're all weak, and that's kind of the point, is we're weak, and we're not made for this life, and we're going to have to suffer a bit. And I don't really know if not having an iPhone is considered suffering, but it's an inconvenience. And so whatever it is, cut off the source. Get rid of it, because it's worth it. Jesus is always worth it. And it's the last point. One of the biggest struggles that we have is guys that struggle with sexual temptation, whether it be pornography or sleeping with your girlfriend or any other sexual sin, is shame. And I'm here to tell you that God is amazing. That though you sin and that you struggle, God hates that stuff, he has given you Christ. And you need to understand that when God sees you, he sees Christ. He is your representative. He is your head. And so just think with me for 1 second. Just imagine you're over the ocean, all around you. All you see is ocean. You're in this helicopter. And in your hand is this burning coal. And it's burning your hand. That's your sin. And you're flying out over the ocean. And the ocean is God's grace. And you take that coal and you drop it into the ocean. What happens? The ocean evaporates and all the fish die. No, just kidding. The coal burns out, and that is how it works. The Christian life is the life of repentance. Martin Luther said that, and it's true, is that you're going to sin over and over and over again, but every time God is going to be there saying, get up, let's go. I love you. Come on. It's okay. I forgive you because Jesus is enough. And so set your heart on him. Set your mind on him. I got two minutes. Common questions, okay? Everybody asks me this. Is masturbation sin, like without looking at pornography? Yes, because when you masturbate, you are not thinking about like rocks and tractors. You are thinking about, you're thinking about things that you've seen before. You're thinking about your girlfriend. You're thinking about things that are stored up in your mind. And Jesus said, to lust in your heart after the woman is to commit adultery with her. And so a lot of guys are like, well, what the heck do I do? If I can't look at porn, if I can't like masturbate to get rid of this sexual desire, what do I do? Well, the Bible suggests that you get married.
And a lot of people are like, what? Nope.
And I'm like, yeah, like, I got married when I was 19. I'm not suggesting everybody do that. I'm saying start thinking about marriage. If you're not ready, start moving towards that position. Get a job. I know a lot of you are in high school, but you know, get a job. Learn how to provide for your wife. Start thinking that way. I'm not saying it's the only solution. You can live a holy life that is single, but it is difficult in our world. Last question. Can I be saved and still struggle with pornography, addiction? This is a touchy subject. The short answer is yes and no. You can't be a Christian and love sin, okay? You can't be like, yeah, I love you, Jesus, but this is so awesome. You know, that's not how that works. It's, I love you, Jesus. I hate this. Help me, Jesus. And I know that you hate this, so I'm going to hate that. Even if it's not natural, because we're broken. And so, yes, you can still be a Christian and be saved and struggle with this sin, but you can't live a life of ardent rebellion against the Lord and say that you love him. You can't. It doesn't work like that. Anyways, that's all I got, guys. We're out of time. I really appreciate you. Thanks. I pray for you, and know that right now you guys are just going to go into a time of worship, so just hang out here, and everybody's going to come in, and then you guys are going to rock out. Thanks, guys.